working here. I call meeting to order and I welcome you to the Arizona Barbering and Cosmetic Health Board meeting of September 16th, 2022. I invite you to join me in the pledge of allegiance. Board roll call. Gary Beckman is here. Andy Flores.
Here.
Earl Guzman.
Present.
Mr. Guzman is on her way. Marshall Knox.
Present.
Emilio Doe.
Here.
Jason Turrentine. Jason never shows up. Can we do the staff?
Airborne staff members, Frank Monaro.
Present.
Kylie Jeffern.
Here.
Ryan Al.
Here.
Rosa Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Isabella Lincoln.
Here.
And me, another senator.
Mona Baskin, Assistant Attorney General, representing the board.
Alexandra Hill, present.
Helen Moreland.
Lisa Chavez, present.
Kelly Becker, present.
Kathy Griswold, present.
Peter McConnell, present. Great, glad you're here. Glad you're here. We wouldn't have any work if not included. For your search. Let's move to number three.
So if somebody's gonna call in, I'm gonna be.
Mr. Chairman, it's a question, so first that arrives in a few minutes, that the table, 3A for the minutes. Table the minutes for a few minutes.
I don't know. Do we have to dial from here?
And then we'll have one issue due to an end of session. Absolutely. All right, so we'll go to 3B, conflicts of interest. Do we have any conflicts of interest?
None for me.
None for me. There've been many meetings the last 2 years. That's fine. All right, so welcome to visiting Barbering Cosmetic students and instructors. Do we have students, instructors, people from schools here today? Represent all the schools in the state. Thank you. And where are you from?
Beta Institute of Phoenix.
Ah, great school. Very nice. Thank you for coming. We appreciate your support. We move to executive director's report.
And bring Chair Bacon numbers to the board. I have a, honestly, because we've had a number of meetings in a row now, my report has condensed a little bit, so I just have a few items of interest for us this morning. Specifically, we did receive our financials. So if you recall, in August, I shared there was a bit of a delay because of the state budget not being passed until late in June. So there was a delay in closing out fiscal year and starting new fiscal year. So you'll see here on our, the big item to note here is that effective July 1st, the Barber and Cosmetology budgets have consolidated. So the last step in the physical consolidation of the two organizations did occur effective July 1st. So we are physically, financially one team now. We continue to make some adjustments from a organizational standpoint to consolidate our efforts. And until, not until we get to our consolidated IT system will truly be organizationally consolidated, but we're making progress on that. So you'll see we did have a bit of net revenue in July of $29,900. $1,479. In August, we actually had a net loss of $34,597. That's very deceiving when you look at monthly numbers. There's nothing for us to start about it. Those items. So I will quickly pause it real quick and we go back to roll call and we can have the record reflect that Trista Guzman Glover is now present for the meeting. So as soon as we're done with the report, we can go back to those minutes. You do also have a full copy of the financials in the board drive for you. So you can see all of the specific line items and where all of that money is at. Board membership and new appointments. I don't have any additional information still this month. I do intend to reach back out to the governor's office for the commission to have another conversation. I understood in July that we were days from having at least one more member, and here we are in September and still are lacking two of our industry professionals on board. So that's where we're at on that. I did share earlier by email earlier in. Actually, maybe it was late August at this point, the new organizational structure that I believe to be the organizational structure that perfectly fits this organization moving forward. So with the hire of Kelly Shepherd, our deputy director, she is overseeing both the compliance function as well as the licensing function. And we have two excellent subject matter experts in the Servoyano and Ms. Rodriguez. Who are overseeing those individual teams as well. So I just put that org chart up there again for all of you to see. And I have one piece of very exciting news to share with you this morning that I'd like to announce that our esteemed Assistant Attorney General, Mona Baskin, has been nominated and appointed to the Public Lawyers Executive Council of the Arizona State Bar. She will serve on that council for a two-year term. So please join me in a warm congratulations to Assistant Attorney General. Selfishly, it's exciting for me to give any opportunity for our organization to be represented anywhere outside of the industry. I think it's really very much. So next, testing data. I'm gonna continue to keep this testing data in the forefront of my monthly reports to you just because I know that was, I know from my interview with all of you and the subsequent meetings that this was your chief concern upon my arrival to this role. And I'm really excited to share with you that since May 23rd, when that testing changed, we have tested, Arizona has tested 2,500 candidates through that new written practical examination process. We have an additional 780 candidates that are scheduled to test, and we have 1,500 at this point that have been approved to test, but they themselves have not gone and scheduled that. But it's in there. It's in their purview. It's in their laps, well, to get that title. We have covered. Actually, I will say that number jumped a little bit this month. I can't really pinpoint why, other than maybe there was another, I apologize, because we switched, remember, if you recall from my report in August, we switched that approval process, all right, now you can go test, and then you submit your application to us. So we had to submit a whole bunch of quote-unquote approvals for people who wanted to pass it. You'll see there as well that there is barber styling theory as well as barber styling written practical answers in there. Now, this is the first thing on that. I'm not sure. In order to expedite the licensing process. It's avoiding lengthy wait times. The Arizona Barbering Health and Policy Board will no longer mail out barber licenses effective Wednesday this week. They will now receive their license via email. It will still have their picture on it. We still have that quote unquote fraud protection that we can be concerned about. It's embedded within the PDF that they are receiving. But nothing has changed in the license posting requirements. So there's really no change other than it saves us actually a significant amount of money in reality. We will also be transitioning, hopefully in the month of October, the cosmetology side as well. We'll start going to the individual. We're looking at the options for QR codes to be embedded on those licenses for individuals to print them so that we have that added security as well. Looking at our options, ultimately, when we get to the long-term new IT system, that would look like it anyways, which is an opportunity for us to better provide some efficiency. Again, I will be able to personally and personally is struggling, and we're getting a lot of things returned to us that have proper addresses on them, and we got the stuff that's still there with chairs getting lost. And so we are, so this is hopefully helping the community push more modern.
Yes, well, thanks.
I was just going to ask about the security and feature because there's a significant risk if this is providing them with licensing.
Go to the note.
Using the faith and fire to print them themselves. So the QR code will be good.
Yeah, I think another really great thing about the QR code, that our investigators, our compliance team, I'm actually going to use their homes. QR code and sure. That's what transform all of those options for security process. So we continue to work with that at this point. Mail that it is at the head of work. Here's the stat monthly overall licensing update. I am so excited and I remain incredibly proud of the licensing team as a whole that I got green check marks all the past that. That was all red in my first month. And they are really just continuing to, like I mentioned it in August, we worked on that timeliness, getting things caught up, and now we're really going to start to transition to looking at quality and process improvement for how we ensure that we've got quality applications. We're improving quality applications. I'm here to quality. So everything remains current on those items, and I'm just really excited to continue to be really proud of that for really making those adjustments and supporting all the applications. Because the second item of the issue that you all should on my decision, particularly about 5 months behind. And finally, here's the next set of meetings. Our next meeting will be Friday, October 21st at 9 a.m. I don't remember if it's this board room or another one. I actually do like this one, so we'll see what we can do. And then just for everybody else, sort of on schedule that we're waiting 5 months of the day, so that we can get that on the calendars. And then I do just have one last reminder that's not in the presentation, but I remembered on my drive in this morning. Please log into your BCB Google accounts at least once a month. I know you guys are getting the emails, my emails at both your personal emails as well as your BCB emails, but if you're getting into that DCB email once a month, you shouldn't have that issue with you getting locked out anymore and having to reset passwords and everything else. And I'll be really honest, our awesome executive assistants are about ready to have a baby, and I'm not really sure what to do. If you make sure you do that, I think it will help solve some of those issues. And I actually also just wanted to ask a good question about the Google Drive in the materials. I know some of you are accessing that stuff and looking at it. If you have, I guess I'll make a comment, we're probably not supposed to discuss it, but if you have any ideas or feedback on the formatting or the how that drive is designed, let us know. We are happy to do that. We're trying, we have successfully now 3 months in a row gotten that drive prepared and sent to you a week prior to the meeting. So we're wonderful to get your feedback for how we can write this report to you all. If you have that, so you're welcome to email us that or come up with a reply. So just like that, that was my shortest report to date. And I have Assistant Attorney General Ashley is going to provide some training on executive sessions. We have not gone into executive sessions since I've been here. We don't anticipate us going into executive session today, but we wanted to make sure that we got all board members back on that same page of what it means to go to executive session. What we can, we just basically the basic ground rules related to that. So, Member Goodkin.
Yeah, you mentioned the revenue and the operating loss, and then how we have a balance. In the end, the balance doesn't really matter though, because it's all about how much is budget, correct?
Yeah, so we have our appropriations, about $2.8 million this year, so we can spend to that $2.8 million, whether we do that in August or in June as we need to, it doesn't really matter.
We can't ever get the other.
Not until we get better about submitting our requests to OSPD.
All right, thank you.
We did have some wins this year for paying for the new IT system. Out of that fund, we're also we received the national as well as the employee raises, all came out of that fund this year. We did not submit an additional request this year because we don't have to when we're doing the IT system. Thank you, sir. All right,
thank you. Good morning. Mr. Bagg and members of the board, this is going to be a training on what are executive sessions. And how do we know what an executive session is? Well, as I always tell the staff and Mr. McGollick as well, what you're actually going to say that on a majority vote of quorum, they will hold an executive session. What that also does is it creates specific different content areas that are appropriate for executive session. And those are the only content areas that the board can go into executive session for. The two main ones that I'm just going to put on here, because we don't have to get into every single one of them, the contract negotiations, the employment for people when we hold hire in Stradali, that was all done in executive session. But it seems on the board that are pretty much the board butter on every board meeting are to go into executive session to review confidential information and also to obtain legal advice. There's only legal advice for session. So we're just going to talk mainly about those today. Now, notice, we have to have notice to both the general public that we're going to hold an executive session. But we have what's on your agenda, and it's on the first page, is we have a general statement that states the board may go into executive session for the purpose of obtaining legal advice on any agenda item pursuant. And we cite the statute 384.31.0383. So the board has the ability, based on that notice, to go into the session by including required report purpose. And the purpose is to provide notice to all the public so that they will know that the board will be holding an executive session or has the ability to do it based on compliance with the open meeting law and also to provide the board members that notice. And I believe that you all are aware based on that general item. So let's say in the event the board does want to go into executive session, well, there's an agenda item that you want to get legal advice regarding disciplinary outcomes the way the DA. So the board, it does require a board vote to go into executive session. And it would be specific on the basis of why the board is going to do executive session. So I'll give you an example. Generally, if the board is going to go into executive session.
In the board meeting.
Agenda item six on the agenda, we can, you know, would be, North one, fourth one, also number whatever, and also say, and we will also session, such confidential. So then that, please support, you know, that kind of twofold.
Executive sessions, good lord.
And also.
Yeah, lady, I hear you.
Can we go into executive session, just logistically, what do we do? Well, if we're on the phone, that's pretty easy, there should be a, this virtual, there is a secure phone number that all the members will go into. We would make sure that the members are not, like, you know, in their office, other people around, that they are in a secure location. You know, we just want to make sure to protect the integrity of the executive session. If we're here, generally, we would be either recessing to another room. Sometimes the board do also is ask everybody else to sit out of the room and then secure the room, only the officials that are necessary. So the next slide states that there must be a confidentiality statement state that says units of the discussion held in executive session must be kept confidential. Generally, I say that it definitely could be your executive director. It could be the board chair, just as long as it's kind of like a procedural reminder of the confidential nature of the executive session. All right, who is able to be present? Well, only people that are reasonably necessary in order for the board to carry out its executive session responsibilities. So if the board is going through executive session for legal advice, obviously the lawyer would be in the board. Generally, Mr. McAuley, who would be there to maintain minutes. However, Mr. McAuley would not be providing discussion during executive session. It could be if it's one of the other agenda, one of the other statutory delineated reasons to go into executive session. It could be the Auditor General. It could also be somebody from Human Resources or the employment, or it could be a person that's subject to executive sessions. So, for example, even though we really don't have this here, oftentimes with health boards, if the board is dialoguing with a licensee and there's an issue that is confidential to that licensee regarding a protected healthcare information, the licensee could actually go to executive session and dialogue with the board about that. So that and, you know, not only is it for legal advice, but it is also to check the entirety of the investigative process and to any other type of confidentiality. That's not what this board does, but it's what I do in the past. So, and then when we get into executive session, and I know it's exactly how this is important, you know, we've had other executive sessions. The questions are to the lawyer. I have a question about this. I have a question about interpretation of this law. It wouldn't be, all right, well, what do you all think? Let's have a discussion about it. There are no straw votes, there's no you know, voting, no consensus, we all agree, none of that. And it's strictly a time when the board takes consult with their legal counsel and obtains legal advice and obtain clarity. I do have to wonder the third bullet, if the board attorney's not present, you can't go into executive session. From my understanding, that has never happened. For me, I've heard possibly it has happened in other areas. And the whole purpose is, again, to focus on legal advice, to be able to take that legal advice, and to be able to integrate it into your discussion and your analysis of facts before you make a decision that is on the board. The board is the one that makes these licensing and regulatory decisions within the confines of the law. So all of that must occur in every session. So when we're finished with the executive session, we don't have a vote because, again, there can't be any voting. There just has to be, we're all, you know, at that point, go to the chair with enough, the executive session is over, and then either we would come back into the room or we might close in. And then at that time, again, the board is going to take that information for that clarity that they've received regarding their statutes and rules or any legal issue, and then go out and have a discussion about the facts and circumstances. And again, make that regulatory decision. Now, there's just one little caveat that I would give is that when you come out of executive session, it shouldn't be stated, well, based on what our lawyer told us, this is what we're going to do. And that's not how the process should work, that you should take that information and then really have a good discussion, that the board members should talk about the facts and circumstances through the lens of what the statute states and what the rule states regarding what your ability is and what your options are. Many times when you are in executive session, you'll ask for what are the legal options, what are the upside, what are the downsides. Those are all the questions that board members have in executive session. And then again, take that information and go back and have the robust discussion. So with that, I'm going to conclude the presentation and want to come on to the board. This is a very good board. So thank you.
Thank you for the presentation. Did you complete your area?
We did. Thank you for the report.
Okay. Let's go back to A and look at the July and the August minutes. Well, I need to recuse myself from the July because either both times. So,
I also love them. Pittman also wasn't present for July.
Oh, July. Okay. Yeah, we'll just do that again. Yeah. All right, so August. It's here in August. We have four.
I was here.
That's here. Are you here? Four? All right. All right, so you're regarding the August meeting?
I'll make a motion to approve the August meeting minute.
Goodman second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? All right. We're jumping them as is and moving July on to. All right, let's move up to the complaint review consent agenda. All right, now this is a new layout for me. At what point do we swear in the agenda?
Mr. Chair, I don't believe we would swear in staff until the informal hearing.
Informal?
Yeah. I'm not, well, I guess maybe if we have to pull a case. I think that you're the charge you want to hear.
All right. Can we add that to this agenda next time? Yeah. At this stage, you will swear in staff.
My only point would be that the staff will be giving their sworn testimony when we are at the formal at this phase in the proceedings. They could just speak to the board as investigators. I mean, that would be the board's pleasure if they wanted those statements under oath, but it would definitely require the
informal. Definitely require the informal, yes. But if we have a question when the case is going to be asked,
that's not required. But if you would like them to give all their statements that are made under oath, that would be the goal.
So there's no advantage to future information plus.
Whatever whatever you would like, which is not necessary. Their foreign testimony is necessary to be involved. Because they are actually at this point, we have to send them and they could be providing the information as possible. But that would be it.
We will do it at the end. If they don't have it.
Oh, great.
All right, then let's move to the consent agenda. Let's look at A, which is my favorite because of the minute. B, recommended dismissals. We would like to do the same. Is that you?
Yes.
Good.
Mr. Chairman, for all cases, this is from Step 1B, recommended dismissal have been reviewed according to board's memorandum, and we ask the board to consider staff recommendation, particularly non disciplinary action.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed these cases and I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendations to dismiss the cases on the consent agenda.
Second.
The motion is second. All in favor say aye.
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 As it's ended, I don't say much.
All right, let's take a seat, please.
Stefan B, veteran of non-disciplinary concerns. Mr. Chairman, the management board, all cases listed under Stefan C, recommended non-disciplinary concern have been reviewed according to board parameters. And would ask the board to consider staff recommendations or take other non-disciplinary action.
Mr. Chairman, I review these cases and I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendations to issue a non-disciplinary letter of concern for all the cases in step one, two.
Ms. Lumbauer, second.
Motion second, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing no consensus, this passes unanimously. Can actually get Mark. We're working on it. All right, can we get a D, please?
Step one D, recommended informal use for negotiation terms. Mr. Chairman, and member for the board, all cases listed under step one D, recommended informal interview for negotiation terms have been reviewed according to board parameters. And we would ask the board to consider staff recommendations for take other non-disciplinary action.
Any discussion on any case?
Mr. Chairman, I just, is there any detail that staff could provide on case number 41-97758, Beautiful Salon and Spa, license number SCOS 27288?
Chairman of the board, Helen Bornholm, I have case number 97758, the Beautiful Salon and Spa. I was out there on July 21st to do a routine inspection. And at that time, I found some sanitation violations, dirty combs, brushes, the back bar, there was trash laying around. There was no manager or anyone in charge at the time. There was one stylist that was in the salon. She had an expired provisional. And it clearly she had been working. She had set up, with her tools out. She claimed that she wasn't working. She didn't have a guest at the time. However, the circumstantial evidence shows that she had actually worked. Unlicensed.
All right.
Any other questions?
Nope. Nothing?
Okay. Sam has a question.
Just for context, could you say what would be the evidence was that she was working?
So in the photos, you have photos attached in the drive there. She had her personal station set up. So she had her shampoo case laying out over her chair. Her scissors and combs were out. Her clippers were out. She had was set up for the day.
Any other questions?
No questions for me.
Thank you. Any other questions about any other cases in this group?
Mr. Chairman, after reviewing the cases, I would make I'd like to make a motion to accept staff recommendations to initiate an informal interview or negotiation terms for all the cases in step 1D.
Second,
Marshall Mox.
You know, previously, aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That's unanimous through all these cases being voted. That's it. Nice. Right, move on.
Mr. Chair, in step six, you do have step 6K.
Yeah, I appreciate you.
But that one also moves forward.
All right, Joe, you know, yes, step K. Could you tell us about case number 96875, 96876, 97748, 97772, 97764, 664, 97755?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Board, Tony Warnock. So for this case, this would be for one of these sales. If you recall, back in April of 2022 at the monthly board meeting, it was ordered that both emails be put on a 6-month probation due to sanitation and other very violations. I believe you have closed very fresh. So I had gone back out to visit the salon for a routine risk-based inspection as ordered on May 27th. At that time, I was very pleased that the salon had been very well taken care of. They cleaned up quite a bit, which was nice. However, the establishment license for both the nails and the aesthetics were expired, and they had expired upon January 27th, 2022. And as of this date today, they are still currently expired. The only other sanitation violation I found along in the archive, there are two buckets of products, like a scrub, and maybe a mask, and they were in a like silverware box. They were labeled or anything with the ingredients. And I did speak with Mr. Nin about that. He did comply and take the IFP class on September 14th. And it was ordered, however, within 90 days. So he went a little back. As of yesterday, the owner, Ms. Fitch, has not taken the ordered.
Mr. Ben is the manager? Or?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And then the owner is.
Okay.
So,
are there any questions, sir?
Well, there will be, I'm sure.
Okay.
So they've been on probation since January. And this inspection was what?
This inspection was conducted on May 27th. So on April 8th is when they were placed on probation.
Yeah.
So I went back 30 days
ago. Based on the record that you have in front of you, were they fined in January also?
Back in January, they were not fined because it wasn't going to help.
Right. They're just for probation.
I think we decided not to do fine because there's been fines in the past. There's been there was no action on those.
No. So the licenses are still, as of today, still nothing.
Correct. And the one person hasn't taken the class that we think. Yeah. One of them.
Yes, yeah. Correct.
And the other one was well past the 90 days. Human. The one that did was well past. So non-compliance on every disciplinary action meant to protect the public.
All my questions are answered.
It's a difficult case, and we have no interest in interfering in their business, but we do need to protect them. So, where do we go from here?
Mr. Chair, members of the board, I believe at this point, with your approval, of course, this would likely go back to informal interviews. at the next meeting. So we, if that was the direction you choose to go, we would give a motion for second and approval on that. And then at that time, the board would receive an additional presentation from the clients to then determine the next steps within that disciplinary process. So I'll figure out where to keep your order. Like, what your decision on this where discipline would be today, but we want the motion to be taken along.
Yeah, I was trying to think if there was another road, but I don't think there is.
Is there, there's nothing more serious?
Well, I think we would have to go back into the informal interview to give the respond, to give the respondent the opportunity to be present so that they can explain themselves and then you issue.
But if they've broken their own probation, I mean, if they haven't followed the probation, aren't they still in the lane that they're already in trouble to be in? I mean, to go back and restart seems, I don't know, help me out.
All right, Mr. Chairman, members of the Superintendent, yes, they are under consent agreement. So they are in kind of, I would say, like you said, a special lane. But for you to be able to resolve all the allegations of noncompliance, this would be the first proceeding that they would go through. So at the informal, then you'd be able to impose disciplinary options under, you know, the concepts of progressive discipline. The licensee would be invited, the compliance team is board of line review presenting the case, and at that time, the board has all disciplinary options, which include offering a consent agreement for everything from, it could be further education, it could be suspension, it could be revocation, it could be a civil penalty, or any combination thereof. And after the informal, you could offer whatever disciplinary option you would on the consent agreement, because you have very limited disciplinary options at an informal proceedings. And then if not complied with, it could be moved to formal hearing. So, but it would be the next step to allow the board to consider it.
Just have to be dirty now.
Yeah, and that's it. I would make a motion to be moved this to a formal hearing and get them in here so we can talk to them. But I'd also like to order another inspection. And at that inspection, beyond the inspection, I think we're counseling to let them have an idea of what they're actually heading into would be useful. We have no interest in interfering with their business, but we also can allow that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think much we move this to an informal hearing and notice them as such.
Is my brother second?
And included in your motion, we wish one follow. All right.
And if that has to be part of the motion, then that was inspection occurs. So make sure that they know.
Is my brother?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Hopefully, we get
them fixed. Is there this time we're going to go into that informal interview process? Some of those schedules we get at 10 o'clock. So I would recommend that.
That's good.
Here's the essentials on the
clock. All right. And based on the information, we are.
Yeah.
I mean, if there's a thing we can put it in the form up here because they can't.
Yeah, and what the problem we're having is
right, and this one muffled.
This one's not working.
It works, but it makes all that noise.
What if we mute this though?